Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast today. Many of the folks in our listening audience are very much familiar with what's taken place over the last couple of days in Houston. I'm not going to go in right now at this point to explaining the details because I want to play a quick audio clip for you. A couple weeks ago, I had Dr. Richard Land here with me in the studio, and we talked about this issue, the issue of homosexuality, somewhat the issue of same-sex marriage was a big part of our conversation as well. And so shortly thereafter, we started to air Dr. Richard Land's commentary on the station here on Christian Talk 660. The commentary is referred to as Bringing Every Thought Captive. And I wanted you to hear his most recent one. It's just been produced. This will be the first time that it's aired on the station here. And so I want you to hear he addresses this subject, and it's very short, but we'll listen to what he has to say. And then I want to read about it from another perspective as well. And I'll tell you who that is when we come back from listening to this clip.
This is Dr. Richard Land, president of Southern Evangelical Seminary. Welcome to Bringing Every Thought Captive. Houston, we have a problem. A phrase made famous by the Apollo 13 spaceship, the successful failure, where we successfully brought back a crippled spaceship, Apollo 13. Now we have another crisis, a social explosion. Houston's mayor, Anise Parker, the first openly lesbian person to serve in that role, has issued a subpoena demanding that a number of pastors in Houston turn over their sermons dealing with homosexuality. It all started when Houston's new non-discrimination law allowed people of either sex to use whatever gender bathroom they desired. When pastors started a petition drive to have a referendum to repeal the bathroom bill, the battle was on. Now, the mayor wants to inspect the pastors' sermons delivered from their pulpits in their own churches. What part of the First Amendment does the mayor not get? Remember, it says that the government will not interfere with the free exercise of religion. Can you imagine if a Republican mayor were demanding that Muslim clerics were turning over their sermons delivered in their mosques under penalty of being arrested if they refused to comply? Many of us warned that actions like this were coming as the gay thought police increased their efforts to censor any criticism of their lifestyle. I must confess, however, I didn't think it would come this soon, and I never dreamed it would happen in my hometown. Houston, we have a problem. Americans of faith, our freedoms are at stake. Stand with these pastors and defend our cherished freedoms. For more information about Southern Evangelical Seminary or about how to download the free SES mobile app, go to ses.edu. This is Richard Land.
Well, there you had it. That's the Bringing Every Thought Captive spot that runs periodically here on Christian Talk 660. And that was Dr. Richard Land, of course, addressing the most recent issue there taking place in Houston. There's another source that I wanted to talk about this issue from, and that was Joe Dallas. I've had Joe Dallas on the broadcast very often talking about issues related to homosexuality. I think the highest, the most downloaded broadcast that I ever did was the broadcast that I did with Joe Dallas talking about the gay Christian. That has a question mark after it. The gay Christian. Can you be gay and still be Christian? And then I think right behind that was one where we said the broadcast was entitled Responding to Gay Theology. So both of those two issues dealing with, rather than just homosexuality itself, dealing more specifically with those that were claiming to be Christian and yet homosexual and what the scriptures had to say about those issues. You can go out to my website there at www.sermonaudio.com/knowingthetruth. And if you just put in any of those keywords, Joe Dallas or gay or those types of keywords, it'll come up as you'll be able to see there and listen to that broadcast for yourself if you've never heard it. Joe does an excellent job of talking about that. And let me recommend Joe's book on that subject as well, book by the same name. The Gay Christian, I think, is the title of the one book.
The Gospel.
The Gospel. What is it?
The Gay Gospel.
The Gay Gospel. I'm sorry. The Gay Gospel. That's what the question mark was. Thanks, Gary. And I think he's also tweaked that the name of that a couple of times before. But The Gay Gospel was the actual title of the one that is the title of his book. And you can get a copy of that. Now, he wrote on his blog yesterday about this. His blog was entitled Houston, Homosexuality, and Heavy-Handedness. Now, I like Joe already because he's alliterated his blog. And I have that very same disease. And so I feel his pain here and the struggle that he must have went through in order to come up with that. Houston, Homosexuality, and Heavy-Handedness. He says this. He says, since the Ebola scare is today's top story, there's a secondary item that you may be unaware of. The City Council of Houston has subpoenaed the sermons of local pastors to review what they have been saying about homosexuality. Under any circumstances, that's at least outrageous. At most, it's frightening. But the events leading to this heavy-handedness only underscore what an abusive, arrogant move it really is. And then he uses that same phrase that is now being overused in this situation, but Houston, we have a problem. He goes on from there then to say this. It all began last June when the Houston City Council passed the Human Equal Rights Ordinance. It's also now known by the acronym HERO, Human Equal Rights Ordinance, HERO, also known as the Bathroom Bill, a city ordinance claiming to protect differing classes from discrimination in the use of public facilities, granting anyone the right to use a public restroom designated for anyone else. In a simpler form or term, if a male identifies himself as a female, he is now free to use the ladies' room, and vice versa. Some people sincerely view this as progress, including Houston's mayor, Anise Parker, openly lesbian, whose identification with the bill is summed up in her own public statement. Quote, "It is personal. It is not academic. It is my life that is being discussed," unquote. So there's the quote from the mayor herself. She doesn't appear to be, from a quote like that, to be very objective about this ordinance. It seems to be something, as she says in her own words, "This is a very personal thing to me." And so she personally wants this done, even if the people of Houston are not for it. Well, when I say they're not for it, the article goes on to say this. Others object. More than 50,000, to be specific, who signed a petition to place the matter on the ballot so that the voters could decide its outcome, while a coalition of more than 400 Houston-area churches likewise went on record with their opposition. In August, the City Council threw out the petition, citing irregularities. In response, a number of the signers filed a lawsuit against the city, and now, allegedly, as part of its preparation for the suit, Houston demanded that that a number of city pastors turn over records of any sermons that they've preached in which the terms homosexuality, transgenderism, or the bathroom bill, or the mayor herself were mentioned in those sermons. Apart from sermons, any other communication touching on these subjects was also demanded. Now, of particular interest is the fact that some of the churches receiving subpoenas were not even part of the coalition, nor are they named in the suit at all. So just to recap or to give a little bit of interpretation of what we just heard there, so the city of Houston then decides that they're going to sue. Well, first of all, let me deal with the idea of the throwing out of this petition. 17,000 signatures are required in order to put the item on the ballot. The people in opposition to the bathroom bill, they collected 50,000 signatures. So three times as much as what was actually necessary. But even though they had gathered 50,000 signatures, which is a lot of signatures, we're only talking about a city here. Remember, this isn't a statewide referendum. She's a mayor, not a governor. She's the mayor of Houston. So we're talking about just one city. To gather 50,000 signatures from the residents of that city is quite an undertaking. And yet, this is what was produced, along with 400 Houston area churches that then also went on record. You can imagine that if you were to take the church size that was there, how many people were actually represented in those 400 churches that are mentioned here in this opposition to the bathroom bill. You know that, so they went about it in a legal way. They tried to use the civil, legally ordained way of dealing with what the mayor was doing. However, the city then got involved in this process. They're not supposed to be involved in this process, the process of getting this on the ballot. But the city lawyer got involved in looking at those signatures and deemed that they weren't able to read the writing of some of the people that were on there. So they threw out a whole group of them that were associated with, and eventually decided that the entire 50,000 signatures that were collected were invalid because they weren't able to read a certain number of them. So when the government does things like this, first of all, the ridiculousness of the ordinance itself, that we can't have separate bathrooms now, and having separate bathrooms now is somehow discriminating against people. There's a certain amount of discrimination that is right. We discriminate rightfully between boys and girls. There was this issue that came out in the news a few weeks ago that there was a school system that was now advocating that we can't now speak about boys and girls in the classroom. They were then advocating that we refer to the children as, get this, purple penguins, because purple penguins was a term that they came up with that was non-discriminatory, and we should use that. I mean, it's getting ridiculous, right? I mean, it's absolutely absurd. It's one thing when we talk about not discriminating against a person and, you know, treating a person harshly because they're different or something along that line. We all understand that, and nobody is advocating for that. But look at where it goes. Look at where it's going to here in these situations. Here's the irony of this situation. Do you remember that the entire gay movement, the gay acceptance movement by those who are in the advocates for homosexuality and so forth, the way that this all began was with tolerance. This was them saying that, you know, people need to be tolerant of their lifestyle, of which I wholeheartedly agree if we are using the original definition of tolerance, you know, to live and let live, to allow people to make their own choices, even if we feel that those are the wrong choices that they're making and so forth. And I don't advocate the mistreatment of people who have chosen to identify as being homosexual. But what has changed now is a couple of things. first of all, these very same people that were advocating for tolerance now show themselves to be the most intolerant people upon the planet. You know, they should, above all people, then understand what tolerance is all about. Rather, we find that apparently it wasn't about tolerance at all. Because now we find that the same group of people that wanted tolerance are now the people that are trying to coerce and commanding that other people believe what they believe upon the sentence of punishment and legal ramifications against them. That you will bake that cake, you will take those pictures, they're saying to these photographers, you will hold these events at your private places, and if you don't hold these things, we will fine you, we will put you in jail, we will villainize you as being bigots and so forth. I mean, what happened to tolerance here? I thought that tolerance is what you wanted in the beginning. Apparently, you wanted something different than tolerance is what we're beginning to see here. And in one way, I think that this thing coming to light now and this mayor doing this is actually going to help us to tell that story, to be able to say, wait a second, you know, I thought you were all about tolerance. Now it seems is that you want coercion of people and that you are going to punish anyone who doesn't hold to the same precepts and principles that you hold to. You're going to punish them by villainizing them and name-calling them and saying that they're not worthy of their opinion on certain issues. You're going to belittle them. You're going to try to force them out of the marketplace of ideas and so forth. And you're going to even call for them to be punished by the law, that you're going to bring the law down upon them. Well, I think that we need to call them on this and say, wait a second, you know, you said that tolerance was what you were interested in. Why aren't you tolerant of other people's opinions? So I think that that's one thing that we can say here. The second thing is, from a civil law standpoint, when the government does stuff like this, where they refuse to allow people through the means that are available to them, set up by the government, they force people to go at things in a different manner. For instance, right now we're seeing with the Supreme Court and the way that they went about basically bringing about the legalization of marriage, same-sex marriage, in a number of states by refusing to hear the override what the lower courts had done and saying that they were outside the bounds of their jurisdiction by overriding the rights of the people in each one of the states. For instance, here in South Carolina, I think it was 73% of the people in South Carolina said that in South Carolina, we do not want same-sex marriage being legitimate, being legally recognized in our state. We have every right to do that. And 73% of the populace here of our state in South Carolina voted for it. No judge then has the right to say that what the people voted for in their own state should be overridden now by just a judge, one man, who then says that, well, I don't see it that way, and therefore I'm going to override what the people said. So now they are forcing the people of the country to look at doing a constitutional amendment on this issue. Why? Because we don't want to, we don't believe in the law? No, because they have overridden their jurisdiction over an area. They have so egregiously taken away the mechanism built into our legal system for dealing with things that now they are forcing our hand on going to a different level. Hey, this is what took place in the founding of this country, you know, where the people that came here, the Pilgrims and the Puritans that came here and so forth, they felt the tyrannical hand of government in England, and that there was no recourse left to them to do these things. This was what took place with the Tea Party, the original Tea Party, where they felt that they had no recourse to do anything, that the heavy hand of government was just basically making their demands by fiat, by these kingly statements that were being made, rather than allowing the people to be able to self-govern. And so this is what's taking place in this situation. Joe's article goes on here to say this: Mayor Parker has distanced herself from this action, stating that she was unaware that the attorneys involved in it were taking it, though as of this writing, she has said nothing to denounce, much less stop, these extraordinary measures. And some, me included, Joe says, I have to admit, find it a huge stretch to believe that city attorneys would take such a drastic step without the mayor's express knowledge or approval. Regardless, this is a showdown we'll be watching closely because it touches on a number of basics, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and I would add to Joe's statement there, freedom of the exercise of religion. That's what we keep needing to emphasize, the exercise of it. Freedom of religion means you can preach whatever you want inside your churches, but just don't take it out into the public sphere. I think that this hinges on both the freedom of religion, what is being preached in the churches, and also, Joe adds here, the government overreach. I think that that is there as well. Well, Joe says that there are three issues that come from his heart that we can address in this situation. His first one, he says, is a prediction. And the prediction that is mentioned here is, he said, you know, a lot of people will say, I told you so. But he says that's a loser saying. It's obnoxious way of claiming the higher ground, and he doesn't like to use it. But he says he'll bend his own rule here a bit by saying lots of us said so, since so many of us work and our interests involved in things related to homosexuality and other related issues. He says that I've been saying for decades that it would come to this. In fact, I've also said and truly believe that where gay rights go, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and freedom of conscience suffer. Looking at current trends, I still think that it's fair assessment to say that. So, okay, we saw this coming. And so that's his first point there. He says that this is what we saw coming down the pike. And as a result of that, this is, we can say, look at this is, we're not surprised by what has taken place here. We saw that this was something that was actually going to take place. We warned people about this. We said, hey, this is probably something that is going to take place here in our society and impact our churches. And we, you know, tried to warn people about that very issue. And so sure enough, just what we have warned about is actually now come to pass here. And so, you know, we don't take any comfort in saying that. We don't, that isn't our whole point here. You know, I told you so, I was right, and therefore you should always listen to me because I'm right. That's not the point. You know, that doesn't help anybody. But it is good that we're warning about other things now as well. And since we are warning about those other things, I think it would be helpful to know that, you know, hey, we were right about this instance as well. And so just trying to tell you that there's a little bit of insight here from the Word of God to be brought to bear. Joe says that we should make preparations. Well, I think that we should. We should understand now that this is going to cost us something. These are my words, not Joe's. I'm just, for time's sake, I can just give the just the highlights of what his article says. You can read it for yourself out at joedallas.com. But he says there should be preparation. Well, I've been preparing myself and the people in the church that I pastor, Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, for these very things. We've been talking about the fact that being a Christian now in these day and age is going to cost you something. We have enjoyed a relative peace here in this country. Persecution has been here, but it's been on a much lower level. It's basically just been verbal attacks and so forth. Now it's going to be different. It is now costing people their livelihood to be associated with Christ. It is now going to mean that you are going to be accused of being a bigot. You're going to be called, you're going to be villainized in this society. You're going to be called narrow-minded and a hater and these types of things. And so this is going to separate the men from the boys. This is going to have a sifting effect, which I think is needed, by the way, in the church today. It's no longer going to be trendy to name the name of Christ. It's going to cost you something. It's first going to cost you your livelihood. It may cost you your freedom because incarceration is coming next. And then eventually, at the end of this, there are the gallows. It will cost you your life at some point in time. It has cost people their life throughout church history. It cost our Savior. He was crucified for his views. And many of his followers afterwards were put to death as well. I think those days are coming for the people as well. So Joe's final point is perseverance. We're going to have to stand upon the Word of God. And this relates to what I was saying before. Some people are saying, hey, this Sunday, let's go ahead and preach a message specifically about homosexuality and so forth to show them that we won't do it. You know what I'm going to do this Sunday? I'm going to keep persevering in exactly what I was preaching before. And I'm not going to allow the news cycle to now have control over what I'm going to preach to my congregation. I'm going to pick up where I left off, which in the providence of God was dealing with these types of issues and about what is taking place. But in Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to pick right up there. Remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ said, he said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.